Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message. So allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians 4:13. Very familiar scripture here. If you have your cell phones, put them on the off and silent position. Amen. And I've entitled this morning's message, I Can Do All Things Through Christ. Amen. Amen. And if you were to complete that verse, who strengthens me? Amen. Hallelujah. But notice the question I put right there next to the guy reaching out to the son. Can I really do all things through Christ who gives me strength? That should be yes and amen. Hallelujah. Saints of God, we're going to be looking in the life of Gideon this morning. Okay. And we're going to look into his life because I noticed one thing that's so absolute with God. During the Old Testament, during the dispensations of grace, conscience, and so on, the dispensation of law, there was a time of the judges. And every time during the time of the judges, there will also be a wicked king. And every time a wicked king would reign in Israel, God would have to do something drastic. And many times he would have to cause the enemies to have them basically conquered and captured. And we're going to look into the life of Gideon, because this was in the midst of captivity. The Midianites and the Amalekites formed together and overtook the Israelites and took them into captivity. Why? We're going to read in just a few minutes. Because even the priests, even the kings of Israel were setting up their altars of Baal. And God said, enough. If you're not going to tear them down, then I'm going to tear down your kingdom and take them into captivity. But there's always, let me just say this, in any perverse generation that comes and goes, God is always looking for a remnant. God is always looking for a man or a woman that will stand for him, that he could count on when he calls upon them. My question is, that you today? Is that you this morning? Can he count on you when he calls on you? When he says, hey, I need you right now. I need you to spend time with me right now. I'm about ready to do something on the earth, and I need to prepare you. Can you be that guy? Can you be that girl that says, yes, Lord? My soul says, yes. Well, we're going to look at Gideon, because Gideon was in the midst of captivity. And so we look at the scripture verse right here. Once again, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. And then it says, we're going to look at the truth about God, how God can use anyone. How many believe that God can use you? Then let me pray one more time. Father, give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. Oh God, let this word sink into us, oh God. Lord, give us revelation knowledge. Lord, equip us, quicken us. Let us come alive. Let us come out of slumber and sleep. Because we're going to see that this nation went into slumber and they were sleeping. And they had erected altars of Baal. And God had to deal with them harshly. And look at this, truth for my life. I am able to do impossible things with God. Can you say that for yourself? Can you say, I'm able to do impossible things for God? And so let's look at the life of Gideon. And we're gonna read two chapters. They're long chapters, but you know what? Praise God for the reading. You know, when you read God's word, God does something in your spirit. Amen? So turn your Bibles with Judges to Judges chapter 6. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 40. 1 through 40 in Judges chapter 6. And here we go. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Did you catch that? Here they go, doing evil. Doing evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian for 7 years. So now they're captives under the Midianites for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, the strongholds which are in the mountains. They became vagabonds. They became captive. They had no more freedom. Their freedoms were taken away. They were under now their dictatorship. Look at verse 3. So it was whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. Also Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. They would go there and take everything they had. Just imagine someone knocking and crashing down your door and taking all your food in your cupboards in your refrigerator. And you got nothing for the week. They just came in and ransacked you. That's what they were doing here. Look at verse 5. For they would come up with their livestock in their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number. And they would enter the land to destroy it. They were like a locust, came in there to destroy them. Look at verse 6. So Israel was greatly impoverished. That's what they became. They became poor. They became vagabonds. They became the people that you feed on the streets. They were homeless. Look at this. Impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. There were some that cried out. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. So God is reminding them where he delivered them from. He had to take them back and say, didn't I do this? Look at verse 9. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. Did you catch that? So in other words, you're here because you didn't obey me. And I'm praying that God will speak to us the things that pertain to him that are important in your life. You know, our calling in life is very important to God. And when he needs you, he needs you. And when you hear his voice, hearken unto his voice. Don't give him excuses. Can I get amen? Oh, we can be self-deceived in this time that we live in. Look at this. But you have not obeyed my voice. Wow. Look at verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat underneath the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon, there's Gideon, threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. They had to hide their food because they knew that it was going to come and get confiscated. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. Amen. Those of you that are in the men's ministry, when I send a group text, what do I always put? Yes. Mighty men of valor. That's where I got this. Because when God says you're a mighty man of valor, it means a lot. That means a lot to God. Mighty man of valor. He called Gideon a mighty man of valor. Wow. Look at this. Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. I have not sent you? Have I not sent you?" Wow. This is God speaking to Gideon. Look at this. Verse 15. "So he said to him, O Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." I want you to catch that. He's confessing to God his inadequacies. He goes, "I'm the least. I'm the weakest. Who am I?" Have you asked God, "Oh God, I want to be used by you, but I can't read. I can't speak. I can't even do it." And God said, "Wait a minute. I'm the God that can. I'm the God that'll help you." He's confessing right here his shortcomings. But look what God said. And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you and shall defeat the Midianites as one man." In other words, God's going to do it if you yield to him. That's where we fear instead of taking a step of faith when we're called by God to do things. We need to take that step of faith and say, "You know what? I'm not going to fear the enemy. I'm going to do what God has called me to do." Yes. Amen. Because I know he's with me. Yes. How many believe God is with you? Yes. He's with us. Yes. Never think for one moment he's not with us. Yes. Look at this. Then he said to him, "Now, if I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me." So he's thinking, man, could this be a demon? Could this be an evil spirit? Or is this really you, God? A lot of times we play with God like that. Well, I don't know if that was God. Well, let's keep on reading here. Look at verse 18. It says, "Do not depart from here. I will pray until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you." This is Gideon speaking. And he said, and God said, "I will wait until you come back." So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put broth in a pot, and he brought them out to under the terebinth tree and presented it to them. So there must have been more than one angel. Look at this. Then the angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and place them and lay them on the rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock, consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. So this was a supernatural event to him. Look at verse 22. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Then the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. You shall not die." So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is peace." To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Wow, look at this. Verse 25. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, look at this now. "Take your father's bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it. This is his dad. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image that you shall cut down. Now, I need you to catch this for a moment. He's tearing down something that his father built up. And all of them are in that condition in Israel because of all the fathers, not just his father. All of them were in sin. All of them were led by an evil king. And this is why they're in captivity. Why are they in captivity? Why? Because they're in sin. They chose to sin before God. And God is dealing with them harshly. Amen? Now look at this. Look how this plays out. Gideon's father comes up with some really good wisdom. Sometimes you need wisdom. Because they wanted to kill his son. They wanted to kill Gideon for tearing down their altars of Baal. Look at this. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. Because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day. So they had to creep out at night. So he did it. Look at it. He did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, there was the altar of Baal torn down. Come on, these are the Israelites who had these altars of Baal. This is why they are, what? In prison. This is why they were captured. Yet they, man, I'm telling you, you could be in a prison and love that sin and not even know you're in sin. They don't even know they're in sin no more. Look at this. And the wooden image that was beside it, cut it down. And the second bull was being offered on the altar which had been built. Look at this. Now, verse 29. So they said to one another, who has done this thing? And when they had inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the man of the city said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die. Are you catching this? Here they are, sinning before God, and now they want to kill a man of God. Ooh, watch what you desire. Watch out. Because he has torn down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the wooden image that was beside it. Look at verse 31. But Joash, here's the wisdom. But Joash said to all who stood against him, would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself. Did you catch that? If that image can speak, let him speak that you've done that to me. Who are you to say that he has done something? Let that god speak. You see where the wisdom came in? He had to bring them down to earth. Then you have a whole bunch of idols that don't even speak. Little G. Let him plead for himself. Because his altar has been torn down. Therefore, on that day, he called it Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him. Because he has torn down his altar. So that was a place of remembrance now. You know why? Because the enemy couldn't speak. He was deaf, dumb, and mute. Jesus. Look at 33. Then all the Midianites and Amalekites, the people of these, gathered together. They crossed over and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon who?
Gideon.
Gideon. Woo, look at that. He didn't come upon them. He came upon Gideon. And then he blew the trumpet. And the Abiezrites gathered behind him. And he sent messengers throughout all of Manasseh, who also gathered behind him. He also sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali. And they came up to meet him. Praise God, praise God. Look at verse 36. So Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so. When he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water on the fleece. But look at this. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just one more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on the ground let there be dew. And God says, okay, that night. So it was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on the ground. Listen, God could have said, man, who are you testing me? But you know what? This is God in his mercy. God wants you to talk to him. God wants you to come with your questions. If there are things that you don't understand that he's asking you to do, go to him. Go to God. Say, God, I'm troubled here with this. Will you help me, God? But see, it takes time spending time with him. Can I get an amen? You got to spend that quality time with God, and you will hear from God. Oh, we heard from God this morning. We were praying in the Holy Ghost starting at 8:55. And man, the presence of God was in this place, huh? Come on. Come on. The presence of God was in this house. It was a tag team. I went about 25 minutes and gave the mic to preach up. He took it from that point on. Man, I'm telling you, listen. It's about taking time to be with God. When you take time to be with him, he will speak. He will give you insight. He will illuminate. He will download. He'll give you visions. He'll put, it's like putting on the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So now, the story don't end there. Let's go now to what? Judges 7. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people were with him early, rose, and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill, and Marah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now let me just say this. How many believe that God is the God of more than enough? See, back in the day, when we used to roll in the streets, if we had a one-on-one knuckle down and he beat you down, you went back and got all kinds of guys. Say, I'm going after him, huh? Oh, yeah. We roll like that. Well, Gideon brought 32,000 men with him. He goes, I need these guys for my back. And let's see how the story plays out with God. Let's look at this. Look at verse 3. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Started out with 32,000. But the Lord said, that's still too many. bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you. The same shall go with you, and of whomever I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall not go. Okay, so God is kind of telling him, I'm going to decide for you who's gone and who's not gone. Can I get an amen? Look at this. Verse 5. So he brought the people down into the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, and the number of those who lapped putting their hand to their mouth was 300 men. But all the rest of them got down on their knees to drink water. In other words, the ones that went down, they scooped and they were drinking from their hand, looking with their eyes open. The other ones went down and were just drinking. God said, I don't want those guys. Because they're not looking to me. They're not looking out for the enemy. I can't use them. Ooh, man. Look at this. Verse 6. And the number of those who lapped putting their hand to their mouth was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink. Look at verse 7. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the people go, every man to his place. So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands. And he sent all the rest of them of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. Now let me just say this real quickly before we continue. He started out with 32,000 men. He goes, man, that's a whole lot of folks that I need. They got my back. And then now he has 300. And there's a whole bunch of Amalekites and Midianites. There's thousands of them. And they only got 300. This is where you have to trust God now. Can I get an amen? Amen. This is where you have to know that in the midst of turmoil in your life, you have to trust God. When the doctor says and he's counting you out, are you going to believe God for your miracle? Because this had to be a miracle. He was up against thousands and thousands of men. And God whittled them down to 300. And notice they didn't come with swords. They didn't come with spears. They didn't come with knives, catapults. They didn't come with a David sling. Let's see how this plays out. Because God wants all the glory. Listen, let me just say this. If God doesn't get all the glory, he wants none of it. Can I get amen? He doesn't want any of it. And so, let's read verse 7 again. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by 300 men who lap, I will save you and deliver you from the Midianites in your hand. Let all the people go, every man to his place. So the people took provisions and their trumpets in their hands. Oh, the ones that had the trumpets were like the priests. A shofar, a trumpet. Can that kill somebody? Can that cut off somebody's neck? Can it stab someone in the heart to kill them? No. They took their trumpets. Look at this. And he sent away all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below in the valley. Look at verse 9. Then it happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down to the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. Listen, when God puts you on assignment, know that he's gone before you. Yes. Know that he has paved the way. Know that he's there waiting for you. Whatever the assignment he has for you, God is already there. Yes. Hallelujah. He's not going to tell you, wait a minute, I'll get there when I can. No, he's already there. Amen. Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God. So look at this. For I have delivered it into your... He already said this in the future as I already delivered them. He already saw the deliverance. All you had to do is now just go through the motion and do what I called you to do. Look at this. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what I say. And afterward, your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. So he still had fear. Look at verse 12. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the termites that were with them, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. Thousands. You ever seen locusts just tear up a field? They're countless. You can't count them all. That's how many they were there as locusts. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seashore in multitude. There were thousands of the enemies there. Look at this. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I've had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed. Look at verse 14. Then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp. And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of that dream, its interpretation, that he worshipped. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He worshipped. Notice, he didn't freak out. He worshipped God. Amen. Hallelujah. He worshipped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. So now he's coming back knowing what God is about to do, what God has already done, actually. Verse 16, then he divided those 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. Oh, look at this. Verse 17, and he said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you shall blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Are you catching this for a moment? This is a setup by God. Look at verse 19. So Gideon and the 100 men, look at this. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle of the watch, just as they posted the watch. And they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were, what? In their hands. Look at this. So then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, and they held the torches in their hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. Did you catch this? Listen, once again, they didn't come down with swords. Wow. Look at verse 22. And when the 300 men blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against the companion throughout the whole camp. Meaning, all the enemies, when they heard the horns blowing, they started killing each other. My, my, my. Because God sent a spirit of confusion on them. Wow. This is God at work. Look at this. Oh my gosh. Let's read this again. And when the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Acacia, toward Zerah, and as far as the border of Abel Meholah by Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh, and pursued the Midianites. They chased them down like dogs now. Hallelujah. They had no sword in their hand. All they did was blow the trumpets and said, the sword of Gideon is here. And they all started killing each other. Woo! My. He's a God of more than enough. Can I get an amen? And how many times have he saved your bacon? How many times was he there? Hallelujah. To slew the giants in your life. Hallelujah. How many times is the enemy going to keep on coming and keep on coming and keep on coming? And God will always be there. God will always be there. God will always be there. Come on. There's nothing too hard for our God. Jesus. This was an impossible situation, but we serve a God of all the impossibilities. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He'll speak things as though they were not and bring them to pass. Hallelujah. He'll have the enemy running. And they were running. Oh, my gosh. Oh, hallelujah. Look at this in verse 24. Then Gideon sent messengers throughout all the mountains of Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and seize from them the watering places as far as Beth and Barah and the Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered together and seized the watering places as far as Beth Barah and the Jordan. And look at this, in verse 25. And they captured two princesses of the Midianites, of Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb. They pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb, Zeb to Gideon, and on the other side of the Jordan. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. This is the kind of God we serve.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Listen, you have to understand this, that God called Gideon.
Yes.
In the midst of their sin, he called a righteous man.
Hallelujah.
Just imagine, when we were in our, what, BC years, he called us. Why? Because he saw the heart of David in us. Can I get amen? We saw something in each other we could not see. But he saw something in you that says, I'm going to use you. Hallelujah. I'm going to use you until I come back again. Can I get amen? How many of you have been used by God? Hallelujah. Guess what? Some of you, you've just started your journey. Hallelujah. And there's much more. Holy, for some of us, we've been on this journey. And guess what? I still want more. I still want more. Why? Because he's the God of not enough for me. I want more. I want more. I want more. Hallelujah. Woo, I want more. Thank you, God. You see, the story of Gideon demonstrates, saints of God, that God can use anyone to do great things. Even impossible works. That was an impossibility there. God alone knows the full potential of each and every one of us. He knows our limitations. And once you come to the brink of it, then he will step in and take you further.
Thank you, Lord.
He will equip you.
Thank you, Lord.
You notice, he didn't choose us because we were equipped. He doesn't come after those that are equipped. He equips the call. So as he calls you, then he starts equipping you. Can I get amen?
Amen?
When you're watching the story of King David, you know, in the last two scenes or the last two episodes, he's going to put on the armor that the mighty men. And he's never wore that stuff. And it's uncomfortable to him. It says that in the book. And a lot of times, God's going to allow us to go through things that are not comfortable. Can I get amen? But God will still use you to do the miraculous. Brother, you had a testimony, didn't you? Oh, you want to share it? Well, come on up here for a minute.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. My goodness. You know, Pastor Fee was talking about Wednesday night and the prophetic word we all received who was spoken to. And we received it, and it was such an anointing to hear a man of God reiterate what the Spirit has been talking to us individually already. So it was just such a dynamic awareness of confirmation. And it just was exciting and full of power and rejuvenation. And it was such a victory. And so that's Wednesday evening. So we go home happy, full of joy, full of reimbursement, yes. and repowered, rebooted, as they say in computer. You need to reboot your stuff. So I'm here on Thursday morning, woke up happy. And I'm going to try to just keep this short, because I got there's so much involved between the battle between the good and evil.
Take your time, preacher.
So when I always remind my family members, if you have a powerful Sunday, look out for Monday morning, because the enemy is mad. Okay? So I wake up Thursday morning and I'm getting ready and I'm taking my granddaughter to Calvary Chapel from North Park. To school. Calvary Chapel is on East Palomar, and I'm way over here off of Adams Avenue and 30th. So we get ready, and I get her in my truck, a big lifted truck with big tires and everything. I think that's the safest vehicle. It's not a single cab where you have to have a youth in the car seat. So we're going, and we're getting on off of Alcorn Boulevard, 805 South. So as soon as I hit the down ramp, I said, I need to pray like I pray every morning for my children, for our safety, to cover a hedge around my granddaughter, her daughter, my daughter Felicia, her mother. And then I go down the line and I do all the prayers. So I'm hitting the freeway going south and I'm praying. And so by the time I get to National City, I about covered, you know, the usual morning prayer that I try to cover all my family members. And and so as I'm driving past Plaza, if you come to a little bend, I didn't know that bend was there, but I know now because I looked at it Friday morning. So as I'm coming, the skies the weeks before was full of clouds, and my granddaughter would always say, Stata, look at the clouds, because she's seen symbols and she's seen light, different things. She always points them out to me. So I said, I can't look, mija, I'm driving. But I do, you know, for a second. So anyways, so I looked up and I seen the sky was all clear. So I looked up for a second. Now imagine this, the enemy's right there on your tail. He's always trying to set you up, get you in a booby trap. And we're not always aware, but God is. The Holy Spirit is. So I looked back, look, mija, there's no clouds. And then I looked back down. Now, as I'm driving the speed limit. I'm 68, 70. Everybody's passing me. And I said, I'm just going to stay on the pool lane. And just, if they're mad, they go around me, whatever. I'm not going to rush. We're early. We're safe. That's, Lord, keep us safe. Keep us safe. So as I look up, I said, look, there's no clouds. And then I came back down with my eyes. I got to stay on the road, right? And as I'm turning, when I look back down, I look about a half a block in front of me, a stalled car right on the lane. And I remember there's traffic on this side and there's, you know, traffic just all over the place. So I don't have time. I look for a second. And I the car was a little bit to my right and I don't know this. All I know is I said, I have to move. So I swerved, went around it, and I was waiting to get hit by the car next to me. And boom, I went around it. And I just went, oh my gosh, evaded. A disaster. Excuse me. A disaster. And I didn't share this with everybody. Not everybody knows. Only my daughter and my wife Jackie,
Jesus.
And my daughter Arianna. And I just said, Lord, I just evaded. Thank you. And I just started speaking in tongues and all the way down to E Street and L Street, 8th Street. I was just praising God. Because do you know what would have happened if I would have hit a car at 70 that was standing still? And if I would have moved one way and the car hit me and I went, you know, I could have flipped. And now my granddaughter's in a little car seat with a seat belt.
Mama.
Windshield is cracked. So many things could have happened.
Jesus.
And I remind, before I got on the freeway, when I was on the lights, I was getting something by Carter Conlon from Temple over there in New York, where Dave Wilkerson started. And it wouldn't play, so I said, I'm not going to pay it. I'll just put it down. I got to get back on the road. Mm. So once I got off and was back at the lights just by the school, I put it back on. And he starts preaching about the enemy is always coming to get you. He goes, you know what? He sets up traps for you that we don't even know. He said, and so many times we don't realize to wait afterwards that, my goodness, I was set up for a booby trap. And God came and the angels delivered me. So I just wanted to share that with you because right now I'm so full of joy that my granddaughter is not in the hospital. She's fine. She's happy. So much. And I just wanted to share that with you because God is always there. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. What a blessing. My goodness. Woo. You're here today because of God's grace. God's grace. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. So God, so put your name there. God's called you. And if God's called you, he wasn't going to allow anything to get in the way. Can I get amen? He spared you because there's still more. There's still more. Yes.
When in that truck, the tires are big. I might have not have made it. I had
You see, my friends, many times potential remains hidden from us. And it's hidden from others. And because God is our creator, how many believe he's our creator? He knows, hallelujah, how our individual qualities correspond to his ultimate plan. Because he has an ultimate plan. He's got a plan that only he knows, tailor-made for you. Turn to your neighbor and says, God has a plan tailor-made for you. Well, that's right. Yes, he does. And yes, yes. You see, and like God called Gideon, the Lord invites us to be a part of what he is doing. Can I get an amen? This happened thousands of years, but now, in the present day, he has a plan for you and I.
Amen.
And despite how impressive or unimpressive our resume may be, no matter what pedigree you come from, victory is in his hands, and it's in our hands because of him. Can I get an
amen?
So God is always inviting humanity to partner up with him. And the Spirit of God will make up all the difference in whatever you and I lack. Look at this right up here. Gideon was the weakest of his tribe and least in his father's home. He was the one that probably, you know, maybe went to church. I'm going to put it like this. You go to church and there's someone that you think that may be just insignificant. Sometimes there's people that you just walk by, don't even say hi. They're not important people to you. Well, that's how God saw him. That's how he said, that's how he felt. I was the weakest, the most insignificant. The weakest. He was the weakest of his tribe and the least in his father's home. My goodness, my goodness. Look what Judges 6:15 says. My family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Wow. Some of us are no different. Some of us are no different than him. Gideon's family was one of the poorest of the tribes of Manasseh. And his clan was one of the weakest and was the lowest of them all. And yet God said, I'm going to use you, Gideon. I got 11 brothers and sisters. We all grew up in Nasty City. Nasty City. National City. Just imagine. Three bedroom, one bath. 11 kids. My parents, my Wilita lived there too. A whole bunch of dogs and cats. And yet God said, I'm going to use you. Oh, my cousin can attest. She'd been to our house when there was a whole bunch of, a mob of us. Come on, huh, uncle? You've been to our house there on Orange Street. 1927 Orange Street. You've been there. And there was a whole bunch of rugrats. A lot of us. Jesus help us. But God, you know what? God said, I'm going to use that guy right there. I'm going to use him for my glory.
Hallelujah.
Look at your family, how he chose you.
Oh, yeah.
To use you in your family. Can I get amen?
Amen.
No differently. He will find a remnant in your family. And I believe all of us here are the remnant in his family. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Because we have to understand the Lord was with Gideon.
Yes.
You have to believe that God is with you. How many believe that God is with you?
Yes.
He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will always be with you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
While Gideon fired off a list of reasons that God should call someone else, God patiently listened, lovingly ignored all his excuses. Because we could come up with all kinds of excuses. How many times have you gave God excuses?
A lot.
But oh God, you understand. Oh but God. But you have to realize that this, God says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Don't ever think for one moment that God's not with you. Look at this. Where you lack, I am more than enough. Is he the God of more than enough? Huh? Is he the God of more than enough? Oh, come on. He's a God of more than enough. And he doesn't quit on astonishing us. I'm astounded on the things that he does. How he saved your life. Coming from the mountaintop. And right into the valley. Oh, come on. That's God.
Man.
See, Gideon assessed the situation from the perspective of what he had to offer. He goes, I ain't got nothing. So how can you use me? And that's what we do. We say, oh, God, you know, can't use me. Get off. No. You're ready to be used by him. Because he will equip you. You don't have to go to a seminary. There's people that come out of seminaries that don't know who the Holy Ghost is. They got a whole bunch of head knowledge. They could probably quote more scripture than you, but there ain't no Holy Ghost in them. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes. They don't hear God's voice like you and I do. And so later in the story, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. How many times can you honestly say that the Spirit of God came upon you? Oh, my gosh. This morning.
Thank you, Lord.
Hello.
Hallelujah.
He was on us this morning.
Jesus. Hey.
Ha. Thank you, God. Man, I'm telling you, it was something else. It was something else. Ooh, we serve a mighty God, a wonderful God. of God. Ooh, the God that can do. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Look at this in Judges 6:3-4. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Then he blew the trumpet, and the Abiezerites gathered behind him. Man, look how God chose to fight the battle with a sound, with a trumpet. When was the last time you read that God used it like that? The walls of Jericho. When Joshua, he had the priests march around that building 7 times. And on the 7th time, they blew it, right? And the walls came down. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Glory.
And so, saints, since the day of Pentecost and the birth of the church, the Holy Spirit is a gift for everyone who rightly responds to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not just to individuals and specific roles. God gives it liberally. Can I get amen? Whosoever. It's whosoever. Whosoever, and God will come upon you. One of the role of the Spirit is the same now as it was in the time of Gideon to now today. Can I get amen? The difference is that we're born again, filled with the Spirit of God. Thank you, God. You know why? Because this is what happened to us in Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be what? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Paul also wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 12:7. Look at this. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Not just one, for all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through what? The same Spirit. Look at verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discerning of spirits. To another, different kind of tongues. To another, interpretation of the tongue. You know what the prophet said? It still has resonated with me from Wednesday night. Is that God will use each and every one of us in all these departments we just read. He'll use you in the same way. You don't have to be, quote unquote, a prophet to prophesy. You don't have to be an evangelist to lead others to Christ. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You don't have to be a pastor or teacher to teach someone, especially in your own home. Just open up the word and speak and grow and learn. Take it in and then give it out. You see, we need to be like that. I will remember God is with me when he calls me. How many believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe that God is with you and he's called you?
Yes, I do.
See, God wants to partner with us.
Yes.
He wants us to fulfill the plan that he has for you and me. He does want to send us on missions. He wants us to go out and win the loss. Can I get amen?
Amen?
But he had to do something supernaturally. This is what he had to do. He had to thin out God's army. You know what that tells me? There's some stuff that we just got to let go and give it to God.
Yes.
The old baggage. Some of us come to baggage with him.
Oh, yes.
Let me just say this without giving her name away. Well, Wednesday night, there was a sister here that I knew for 20 years. And she was a prophetess. She spoke prophetically many times. And something happened in her walk. And her whole marriage fell apart. And they got divorced. And the whole family came against her. Negativity came against her. People came against her. And when I knew that the prophet was coming, God dropped her in my spirit to invite her. And she came.
Thank you,
And the prophet, my goodness,
hallelujah,
spoke over her and set her free. Every vicious and vile things that came against it, he shattered it off her. He says, all the things that were said about you, he doesn't even know her from day one. And I'm going, oh my God. Only the Holy Spirit knows this. Every vile and vicious thing that was spewed on her. And God said, I'm still going to use you. I'm still going to use you. Just pick up your cross and follow me. You know, that lets me know, I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you're at. I don't care the baggage that you have. All you got to do is lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets you and press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Let it go. Let it go and let God.
Hallelujah.
Watch God do the miraculous in your life. How many want to be used by God? Hallelujah. Then let him mold you and shape you. Let him put you on the potter's wheel. And let him whack off, hallelujah, things that you don't need in your life no more. And don't hold on to, oh yeah, but God, I love that stuff. Let it go. If he takes that from you, let it go. If he takes that from you, let it go. Hallelujah, because he wants to do a new thing. He wants to use you mightily. Listen, if Jesus is coming soon, then he wants to do a work in you quickly. Can I get an amen? We don't have time. We don't have time for things no more. We said, God, do it quickly in my life. Hallelujah. Raise me up. And so God had to do this. He had to shrink 32,000 to 300. Help us, God. All I know is this, is when there's too many things in your life that he needs you to let go of it so that he can use the least things and then watch where he takes you. He will show you things you've never seen before. I would have never thought that I would see the world. I never thought I'd go to Israel 16 times.
Wow.
I never thought I would baptize souls in the River Jordan. I never thought any of this stuff. I would have never thought that I would be selling houses to people and no longer selling drugs. Can I get an amen? Oh, come on. I would have never thought that. But he says, I'm the God of more than enough.
Glory.
He wants to take you from point A to point B so that you end up in point Z. Hallelujah. There's an end game, hallelujah, that he wants to take you. And he wants to build you up. He wants to lift you up. He wants to glorify himself in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Why? Because God fights our battles.
Hallelujah.
He fights our battles. In Exodus 14:14, look at this. The Lord shall fight for you. You shall hold your peace. How many believe that he fights for you?
Yes.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. In 2 Chronicles, look at that. The battle's not yours, but God's. You shall not need to fight this battle. God will fight your battle. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
How many believe that you are in a battle of one way or another?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm in one of the biggest financial battles I've ever seen, and yet God is seeing me through.
Yes.
Can I get an amen?
Yes.
God will provide. God said, you know what? You don't need to ask nobody nothing. You don't have to beg, borrow, or steal. You don't have to go to no one. You go to me.
Yes.
And tell me that what you need. And I will supply all of what? Your needs according to his riches and glory. I don't need to get blessed by man. I don't need to get blessed by anybody else. I need to be getting blessed by God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He will bless me. He will bless you. Oh, well, that's right. Thank you, God. Look at this.
Hallelujah.
With us is the Lord, our God, to help us and to fight our battles. Can I get amen? When he wins, only God gets the glory because God fights the battle. God wants all the glory. So God had to encourage. He encouraged Gideon and defeated the enemy. Praise God. Praise God. Look at Judges 7:9 as we come in for a close. Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into your hand. Let me just say this. Whatever you're going through right now, God's already delivered it. God's already done it. God's already healed you. God's already provided for you. God's already done the miracle for you. God has done the reconciliation already. God has done all those things that we've been crying out to God. He's done it already. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's from everlasting to everlasting. For he is God. And there is none that sits besides him. He's all God all by himself. Listen, you have to understand that God knows our fears. He knows them. He knows our fears. And guess what? He's not going to let anything get past you or past him that's bad for you. He knows. You know why he knows? Because King David wrote this. Look at this. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. When you have that perspective, knowing that we're just dust, then he's the God that can. Can I get amen?
More than enough.
Next time you go outside on a dry day and you're walking and you kick up dust with your foot, that's where we came from. The dust.
Yes.
We came from the dust. We were man. Out of the dust came man. And we will go back to the dust in the flesh. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Woo. Thank you, Jesus. So God fought for Gideon. And guess what? He will fight for you. How many believe he will fight for you?
Amen.
How many believe that God will do the impossible things in your life? Oh, that's right. I close with these two verses in Judges 7. Look at this. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch. And when I come to the edge of camp, you shall do as I do. And when I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you will also blow the trumpet on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they did that. And they won. And they won. And guess what Judges 8:28 said after that had happened? Look at this. Midian never recovered. Listen, this is what God wants to do to your enemy. He wants to put them underneath his feet, under your feet.
Yes.
Never to recover again. Never to recover, amen? Because the Midianites never recovered. They couldn't come back again. Because they killed each other. They killed each other. There wasn't enough of them left. Isn't that something? Where are you right now, saints of God? Are you somewhere in this story? Does God want to take you higher with him? When's the last time you got baptized in the Holy Ghost? You know, oh, I love what the prophet said Wednesday. You need to be filled again and again and again and again. You know why? Because we leak. We leak. Help us, Jesus. Yeah, that's right. We need to be filled again and again and again. Listen, if you want prayer, if you want a touch from the Lord, I'm going to ask the evangelist that's here with us to come up here and pray. You guys want to come up?
Thank you, Lord.
And we're going to sign off right now. I'll put a salvation tag on it later, but I feel this is a time that we can really press in.
Thank you, God.
And then we'll bust into that Hans and Harry King for Marty and Catherine. Sister Catarina, come on, you guys, come on, let's all stand. Preacher, come on up, man. Those who want prayer, come on up. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Allow the man of God to lay hands. Hallelujah. If you want to be touched by God, filled by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm praying for those right now. Right now that are on YouTube and Facebook. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, pray this simple prayer, and then we're going to pray for all of us. Just pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Listen, we love you guys. We're going to sign off with Facebook and YouTube, but we're going to get prayer right now. Amen. Come on down and get prayer. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.